where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
If you are tempted to rush off and get overly bullish on stocks just because the consumer price index for October came in 1/10 better than anticipated, specifically 3.2% year over year instead of 3.3%, then please listen to this podcast very carefully. Yes, as I predicted, inflation is coming down from its 9% level recorded last summer. However, that is still 50%, over 50% above the Fed's 2% target. And while that slowing rate of price increases are welcomed for consumers, prices are still rising from an unaffordable level. Also, while that disinflation is good news, it's only half of the story for the economy. The reason why the rate of inflation is falling is because economic growth is about to collapse. After all, leading up to the Great Recession of 2008, where stocks fell by over 50%, the Fed started to aggressively cut rates in September of 2007. But that did not avert either the recession or the stock market debacle. And the Fed is not reducing rates at this point. In fact, Chair Powell has not even agreed to stop hiking rates yet. What the Fed has actually promised to do is to keep borrowing costs higher for much longer than the Wall Street permeable sycophants believe will be the case. Now, the evidence that the economy is heading towards the proverbial iceberg can be found easily if you know where to look. The Senior Loan Officer Opinion Survey on Bank Lending Practices is one of the most important places to look if you want to find out where the economy is going. And that means, is it going to accelerate? Is it going to decline? Or is it going to crash? The October 2023 report, which came out last week, highlights the changes in the standards and demand for bank loans to businesses, households over the past quarter. Loans to businesses reported tighter standards and weaker demand for commercial and industrial loans to firms of all sizes over the third quarter. I'm going to repeat that. Loans to businesses reported tighter standards and weaker demand for those loans from commercial and industrial loans to all firms of all sizes over the third quarter. Furthermore, banks reported tighter standards and weaker demand for all commercial real estate loan categories. As far as loans to households go, banks reported that lending standards tightened across all categories of residential real estate loans, other than government-supported residential mortgages, for which standards remained basically unchanged. Meanwhile, banks reported tighter standards and weaker demand for home equity lines of credit as well. Moreover, for credit card, auto, and other consumer loans, standards reportedly tightened and demand weakened as well. Why are banks tightening lending standards from an already tight credit stance? According to the survey, banks most frequently cited a less favorable or more uncertain economic outlook, reduced tolerance for risk, deterioration in the credit quality of loans and collateral values, and concerns about funding costs as important reasons for tightening lending standards over the third quarter. A slowing economy is putting pressure on America's fiscal situation. Last Friday, Moody's Investors Service lowered its ratings outlook on the United States government to negative from stable, pointing to risks that are rising to the nation's fiscal strength. In the quote, "In the context of higher interest rates, without effective fiscal policy measures to reduce government spending or increase revenues, Moody's expects that the U.S. fiscal deficits will remain very large, significantly weakening debt affordability," close quote. Perhaps it was the horrific 30-year Treasury auction the previous day that helped spur the downgrade of U.S. debt. The difference between the yield buyers accepted prior to the auction and the yield seen after the auction takes place, also known as the tail, was 5.3 basis points higher, which was the greatest tail on record. The bid-to-cover ratio at 2.236 was also terrible. It was the lowest since December of 2021. Foreign bidders, also known as indirect bidders, tumbled from 65.1% of the previous auction to just 60.1%, which was the lowest since November of 21. And the direct bidders only taking down 15.2%. Primary dealers were forced to step up and take on the balance, or a whopping 24.7% of the auction, which is double the recent average of 12.7%, and the highest again since November of 21. What all this means is that the willingness of all types of buyers of U.S. government debt is starting to crater, especially when it comes to their desire and confidence in holding treasuries for a long period of time. Volatility in the world's so-called safest asset is bringing chaos to markets. That chaos is set to increase rapidly next year as the excess liquidity in the banking system to support treasury prices runs dry. Do not believe the CNBS hype about a strong consumer. U.S. retail sales were reported this morning and they fell for the first time since March. Now, sales dropped by only 0.1% month over month, but that is a nominal number, meaning that if you subtract inflation, you get a consumer that is running out of gas. And consumption is 70% of GDP, and both real and nominal consumption are now falling. This is critical because it means Wall Street's estimate for 11.5% earnings per share growth in 2024 is a complete and absolute farce. Nominal GDP usually runs commensurate with earnings per share growth. Earnings growth tends to rise equal with whatever nominal GDP. And also, S&P 500 earnings per share growth has historically been about 1.5% higher than real GDP. So if you take real GDP, add 1.5, or if you take nominal GDP, you get an idea of where your earnings growth should be. Now, real GDP growth is projected to be around 2% next year. That is if the economy does indeed experience a perfectly soft landing. Hence, nominal GDP is projected to be around 4%, 2% inflation plus 2% real growth. That's 4. Therefore, you can expect earnings per share growth of between 3.5% and 4%, which is about 8 percentage points lower than analysts' projections. 8 percentage points. That's huge. Of course, if inflation does not retreat to 2%, but instead begins to climb back, you know, way above 4% and beyond, then nominal GDP could be a bit higher. However, Powell will then be forced to continue hiking rates, perhaps even aggressively. And that's going to be devastating to the stock market. But that scenario is very unlikely given the disinflation that is associated with bank lending, consumer borrowing trends, money supply growth, and the negative credit impulse. Now, don't tell anybody, but the S&P 500 is already trading at 18.3 times next year's incredulous $245.85 per share on EPS for the S&P 500. That's the estimate according to FactSet. That is a premium to the previous bubblicious 10-year average of the forward PE ratio, which was in that 10 years when interest rates were near 0%. So what we have here is an earnings per share estimate that is way out of whack, and the earnings multiple on those fake earnings is higher than normal over the past decade. And it was historically a much higher multiple in these past 10 years due to the Fed's QE and interest rate suppression regime. But that regime has now morphed into a restrictive monetary policy with a Fed funds rate that is 200 basis points above inflation. In other words, there is no credible upside scenario for stocks from here other than some massive PE ratio expansion. But there's an absolutely tremendous amount of risk to the downside. especially when I firmly believe we will be in recession next year and that earnings growth of 11, 12% is going to be flipped on its head to a decline of 12% or perhaps much worse than that, depending on how deep the recession ends up being. I'm going to leave you with this fact. According to Bloomberg, S&P 500 companies have $107 billion in debt that must be refinanced in 2024. That debt currently has an average interest rate of just 2.8%. Meaning, even for the highest rated companies, debt service payments are going to double next year. $107 billion of investment grade debt is going to double next year. And we're just talking about investment grade debt right now. The situation is much more dire in the junk bond arena. Much higher rates and much higher debt service payments are coming to a junk bond issuer near you. And I want to close with a couple of points about the portfolio. My clients know that I increased my physical gold holdings about 50% on November 7th. Why? Because my model indicated that the Fed is done raising interest rates. Yesterday's benign CPI print confirmed my conclusion to be correct and caused gold to jump by 1%. We will remain cautiously invested with short-term bonds, gold, defense stocks, until we see the inevitable crack in the credit markets to occur. That will be our signal that in the labor market and financial conditions, that will be my proprietary signal as to when to get net short the portfolio in the portfolio. And getting short the market too early can be devastating. Getting too short the market too late could be a tremendous missed opportunity. We will also get into longer duration bonds once that signal is triggered. That is the plan, and it is a winning plan. By the way, even with the fireworks associated with yesterday's, you know, the Fed is done raising rates, so it's a green light to buy stocks, BS. The S&P 500 is down 6% since the end of 2021, which is when Pentoport went bearish, and that was also coincidentally the end of the bull market cycle. Phase two is coming in 2024. Having patience with the investing process and investing towards the business cycle is the way to profit in bull markets and also is the only way not to get hurt in bear market busts. If the last 2 years did not teach you that buying and holding a 60-40 portfolio no longer works, there is yet another great learning opportunity coming next year.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.